Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Lee Keys coming at you live and direct. Lee calling from Denver Keys, representing Boston. You know, we got a lot to talk about tonight as far as UFC news. A lot of stuff happening, a lot of moving pieces. It's a great time of year right now to be a fan of MMA, man. MMA has a lot of stuff jumping off. A lot of news hitting us basically every day. You know, fights being made. You know, fights being talked about. Injury news. There's a card every other weekend, so there's a lot to talk about. Me and my man Keys, we're going to touch on a lot of stuff tonight. Normally with every show, I start the show off with a dedication. I'm going to dedicate tonight's show to Kofi Kingston, man. Kofi Kingston has been doing his thing in the WWE. You know, he has definitely put on some quality matches here in the past couple of weeks. Bringing a lot of attention to him for his WWE fan base is concerned. On Sunday, you know, he put on another outstanding performance in the Elimination Chamber. A lot of people clamoring for him to be the champ. I just don't see him being the champ. It's just something about African-American wrestlers that I just don't think the WWE knows how to push them or market them. So, but once again, shout out to Kofi, man. Hopefully he'll get a big stage at WrestleMania and put on another big match at Fastlane, and we'll see what happens. But we ain't here to talk about wrestling. We're here to talk about the UFC, Bellator, you know, Rising, ONE Championship, and Vika, you know, anything that's on MMA. Hey, my man Keys, you here?
Yo, 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 I'm here.
All right. Talk to the people.
My bad, everybody. My bad. I'm running a few minutes late tonight. Throw the thing together in 2 seconds. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But anyways, the show goes on. So, man, I'm feeling great. There's a ton of stuff that I want to jump into, because since the last time that we went live, there's been so much stuff that has happened between the UFC and Bellator, because I want to talk about the reason why I say Bellator too is, well, I'm going to get into that, but yeah, UFC and Bellator, a lot of stuff been happening, a lot of events too. This past weekend, a lot of people on Twitter said that it was a failure of events for like every fight organization that had an event this past weekend. Cause I know, ONE Championship had an event. I believe Invicta had an event on Friday night. Then the Bellator had an event on Saturday, and UFC had an event on Sunday. So, but I supposedly there was like some kind of you know, freak accident or thing that happened in pretty much every event. I know the Bellator had a card on Friday and Saturday night.
Bellator had a card on Friday and Saturday night. And first of all, the Friday one, I ended up watching it back because I subscribed to DAZN just so I could watch Michael Page fight Paul Daly on Saturday night. That was pretty much the only reason why, because y'all know I'm not really too big of a boxing guy, and they got a ton of boxing on DAZN. A lot of the biggest boxing names in the world right now are got contracts with DAZN, so if you want to see, you know, Anthony Joshua fights and Canelo Alvarez fights, then it would make sense to be a DAZN subscriber, but I really don't watch those boxing fights, so it wouldn't make sense. I just really wanted to tune into MBT, you know, Michael Page versus Paul Daly, and, I end up watching back the main event from Bellator's event Friday night, and man, I just want to say that was terrible. Bellator, that was terrible. This whole weekend of Bellator was terrible. Like, y'all need to really bounce back after such a terrible...
So many boring fights. You know, like, you had...
First of all, I started off watching the main event on Friday. The dude, Matt Mitrione goes out there and kicks the guy in the nuts. You know, dick kick. basically just ends the fight with the first strike that lands is a kick in the kick it. It's a below the belt kick that pretty much ends the fight, and that was like, I think the first strike that landed. So he kicks the guy in the balls basically, and the guy goes down, and he's like wincing in pain, which is understandable, but it's just it's unfortunate that you build up to a main event just for it to end off a kick below the belt, you know, that just ends the fight right before it really even got going. So that was a bad spot for Bellator for Friday. So that put that bad taste in my mouth even before the MVP and Daly. Then you get to the MVP and Daly, and I'm going to tell you all what happened. So I know I'm pretty sure Lee didn't watch any Bellator this weekend. I don't think you watched the Michael Page. Did you watch the Michael Page and Paul Daly fight?
Yes, I did, and I even watched Friday night also.
Oh, man, then you can attest to that. That I didn't see all of the Friday events. I just watched the main event back for Friday, but the Saturday was just terrible, man. Those fights were just terrible. Like I was so upset. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you all this, Bellator. You made me so upset with that Saturday night event because it was so lackluster, okay? It was so boring. All the fights were just so boring, and just everything was underwhelming. Like, every fight pretty much was underwhelming. I can't even remember one moment from the only – actually, you know, I can – I'm going to name one thing about that Bellator card Saturday night that I can even
Laredo.
Remember. Yes.
Laredo.
Valerie, that was the only thing you had going for you, Bellator. And that whole Saturday card was they debuted this this 20-year-old. She's a black belt in Taekwondo, and she is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. I can't even believe how attractive one woman can be. I wasn't even aware that creatures like this were even created anymore. I never saw such a hot MMA fighter ever. And Lee knows I love him. There's a couple UFC's couple really really hot female mixed martial artists. You know, you have Tisha Torres over there, Michelle Watterson, but this girl really blew them out the water, man. This was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe it how beautiful she is. And I have to say that was pretty much the only memorable thing about that entire event, Bellator. So basically, you know, as the little guy, maybe it don't hold weight for me to say it, but I don't really care. That event was a failure. That Bellator 216 was a complete failure. The Michael Page and Paul Daly fight was a snooze fest. Okay, I have no idea why my man Paul Daly became a wrestler all of a sudden, and he wanted to grapple in what was supposed to be a good striking, you know, stand up fight. I don't know what happened there, but that was terrible. I don't know what was that, but I mean it's not the promotion's fault, but it's just that the results of the fights you had were just terrible. I mean, then you had the Czech Congo was fighting I don't even know the guy's name, but I don't even know how. I'm not too familiar with these Bellator folk, all right? I don't know. So when you say I don't know who they are, I don't know because I don't care. But I'm just saying I watched y'all event. And the dude, Czech Congo, I remember him from the old days in the UFC, so I know Czech Congo, but I don't know this other guy he fought who was like 24-0 or something. That guy looked terrible. I was like, man, how does this guy win 24 fights? Are you serious? This guy would get destroyed. I was just looking at this guy, and I was like, he would get destroyed in the UFC heavyweight division. And the heavyweight division UFC isn't even really it's not like it's a stacked division, but these guys would destroy these guys. I mean, Czech Congo didn't even look good. I don't even know what Czech Congo was doing in that fight either. And then you had the Roy Nelson fight, which Roy Nelson kept on, like, trying to – he was, like, looked like he was going for a takedown. I don't even know why he was trying to take him down, because this man does not get taken down. What's his name there with the checkered shorts?
Krokop.
Who did Roy Nelson? Yeah,
Krokop.
I don't even know why he was trying to – Yeah, Mirko Krokop, I don't know why he was trying to take him down, because he's not an easy guy to take down anyways, and you could see that. Look at his legs. I mean, this guy isn't moving anyway. He's built like a statue, and the guy's like 40, I think he's 44 years old. He's built like a ton of bricks, so I don't even know why he was trying to take him down. Roy Nelson, usually see him standing bang. I don't even know why, what
That's what I'm trying to say. It just seemed like all these fighters were doing weird things. Like, Chuck Congo didn't even look like he wanted to fight, but he won anyways, which I was happy because the other guy just looked terrible. I don't even know what that was, but.
Yeah, no, Lee, you know what I thought when I watched a lot of these heavyweights fight at the Bellator event? You want to know what one thing that idea came to my mind?
What's that?
I was sitting there watching these Bellator heavyweights, right? And I was thinking, wow. Stipe Miocic would destroy these guys. Stipe would destroy all
you know
those
what?
Guys. I can't even believe it.
But you know what? It's kind of funny that, you know, I got into a little Twitter thing with a guy because I promised the guy I would watch the Bellator event. And I watched the Bellator event. And I actually, I want to say it was Sunday morning. And the tweet I'm reading verbatim, I said I would watch the Bellator fight with an unbiased eye. Laredo looked good. Bailey showed up. MVP has talent. Heavyweight division is terrible. I did like the fact that the fighters that had a chance to finish their opponents, they did go for finishes. I like that. You got questionable judging and refereeing, just like in the UFC. And I'm looking forward to see what this tournament that I guess it's the middleweight tournament, welterweight tournament that they're having. That's the one that Daly and MVP was fighting in. So I want to see how the rest of that tournament pans out. But I'm with you, man. They're underwhelmed, you know. They're underwhelmed for the most part. But you can't blame Bellator. You have to blame the fighters. The Paul Daly MVP match, I kind of sort of figured Daly wouldn't stand and bang with MVP because MVP, you know, his skill set is much like a John Jones at a different weight class because, you know, he used a lot of feints and fakes and, you know, a lot of misdirection stuff with the elbows and the flying knees and stuff. So I thought Daly would try to wrestle him. But at one point I was like, okay, Daly, your wrestling isn't working. So go back to your bread and butter and just stand in there and fight, you know. I was waiting for that to happen, and it didn't happen. And the Matt Mitrione fight kind of messed up. That the first strike is a kick below the belt, and the guy ends up getting a hemorrhoid. So he actually was hurt. But it just goes to show you, man, that Bellator – is the B-League, man. They are the B-League. And it's a reason why UFC fighters that can't cut in the UFC go to Bellator. That's where they belong yet. The top-notch fighters are in the UFC. I mean, I can see MVP in the UFC, maybe. Will Chandler, I probably could see him in the UFC. But nobody in the heavyweight division I see in the UFC. I don't see Ryan Bader making it in the UFC. You know, truth be told. I mean, I hate to be brutally honest, but that's the truth. It's these guys, they just aren't UFC quality fighters anymore. So if you just want to get your MMA itch scratched, and Bellator happens to have an event on, by all means, watch it. Support them. But as far as me, I don't see myself watching another Bellator event unless that's the only thing on TV. And, you know, the only thing I would disagree with you with is I still think Tisha Torres and Michelle Waterson are hotter than Laredo, even though she is hot. And they also got a girl in Invicta. I can't think of her name right now, but she's fine, too. Her name is Gonzalez. I just can't think of her first name. I retweeted her weigh-in. I want to say it was Thursday. And, man, that girl, she's sexy, too. But, I think, huh?
You talking about Pearl Gonzalez?
Yeah, Pearl Gonzalez. Yes, sir. That's her.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah.
I thought she was in the UFC for a little bit, and I think they cut her. I think she lost a couple. I thought she lost a couple fights. I could have sworn she was in the UFC for a few, and then they, I think she lost like two in a row, and then they cut her, and then she went back to Invicta. But now she's like in a title fight. You know, that's how it go.
Yeah, she's fighting for a belt. But, you know, man, it's like this, though. You know, I think on Twitter, I think it was proposed that the UFC champions fight the Bellator champions. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, man, I think Roy McDonald and T. Wood will probably be the only fight that will probably be, like, you know, probably close. I think the other fights, the UFC probably would dominate. But outside of that, Bellator is Bellator, man. Bellator isn't even WEC. At least WEC was good. You know, they had good fights. Man, you know what? I'm not even going to kick a dog when it's down. But I'm going to just say Bellator just needs to – if you going to have this much time in between pay-per-views, I mean, I do like the way they don't have an event like UFC. They don't have an event like every week. You know, they don't have an event like once every three months or every other month or something like that. I think if you can have that much time in between events, then the event itself should be stacked, and you should use probably most of your good talent on your pay-per-views. Or, you know, I don't even think they do pay-per-views because basically they use the Zone as sci-fi, so they normally don't have pay-per-views, you know, to watch their stuff. But I just think they need to go back to the drawing board and maybe do some production things as far as lighting. Like that ramp that they walk down to the ring in, that's kind of weird. That's kind of like wrestling a little bit. You know, get rid of that. You know, how the fighters come through the crowd, you know, they can interact with the crowd while they're walking through the ring. It's just little stuff they can do that can make it a little bit more appealing to the fan. But on with you, if I had to give it a 1 out of 10 for Bellator this weekend, I would probably get them a 4.5, maybe 5, because I really wasn't impressed.
So you gave it a 4, 4.5, maybe a 5?
Yeah, I say maybe 4.5, 5. Because if you really look at it, if you stack their two events up against UFC Phoenix, and UFC Phoenix, just the main card alone was better than both Bellator events combined, and that's the truth. If anybody wants to debate that, I'm open for it. We can debate that. Because the Luque Barbarino fight was 10 times better than the Paul Daly MVP fight. And that was like the third match on the third fight on the main card. And we still had Paul Felder and Mike Vick. I mean, and Vick fight, that was actually pretty good also. So, I mean, I'm just saying, man, if I was comparing UFC Phoenix to both Bellator events, I would watch UFC Phoenix back to back on Friday and Saturday just to see that I missed anything. So that's all I'm saying, man. I hate to, you know, I normally don't like to carry on like that, but I just had to get that off my chest.
Yeah, I just want to put it out there that, you know, like, you'll probably laugh at this, but, like, this really happened to me. Like, I just want everybody to hear this, okay? Bellator, I watched the Bellator. Okay, so starting at 7 p.m. on Saturday, one of my best friends, you know, my homie came over, and we started previewing some of the fights. And I started watching it around 7 p.m. because I told y'all I subscribed to DAZN so I could watch the fights. Because I called like a couple bars around, you know, around where I live, and nobody was playing it. So I was like, okay, I don't want to miss MVP and Daly. I think this is probably the only way I'm going to be able to watch it. There's no way I seem to even know what Bellator is when I called them. So
that's okay. Anyways, plus with the streaming service, you know, they don't have the streaming service. They think it's on live TV like it usually is, or on pay-per-view, and it's not. So, anyways, but I started watching fights at around 7 p.m. On Saturday. I watched fights until the conclusion of the main event, which was around like 12:15, I think 12:30, on Saturday night. And you know, I told you I started with the Friday's main event, and then I watched Michael Page's last fight against the Rickles guy, and then I watched one of Daly's last fights, which was he fought Lawrence Larkin. I watched those fights, and then I watched like a whole bunch of other content leading up to the time when I wanted to throw it on, probably like 8, 9 o'clock. So then I was so sad after watching the Bellator by the end of the night, then going into Sunday, knowing there was a UFC card, like, you know, my boy reminded me, you know, he reminded me the next day that like, yo, you're going to be up and at him, like so motivated to watch UFC tomorrow. Like after watching, you know, I was in front of the TV for like 5-6 hours watching Bellator. So, you know, then they had a UFC the next day. You know, Bellator made me so sad because I was so disappointed by that I spent my night watching those fights. I was so disappointed and disgusted, okay, that I wasn't even motivated to watch UFC Phoenix. Like, it hurt my heart, and I almost had no pride. It hurt my pride to even watch UFC because I was just so disgusted with MMA as a whole after watching the Bellator event. That's how dissatisfied I truly was. And I told my boy that on the phone. He called me Sunday night at like 6-7 o'clock. I ain't even trying to be dramatic. This is really happened. My boy called me like 6-7 o'clock. I was on the way to a basketball game. He was like, "You still gonna be down to watch UFC tonight?" I was like, "Bro, I really don't even know." I was like, "I honestly, like, that'll probably have to be a game time decision for me because I don't know." Like, Bellator was just so lackluster and disappointing last night that I don't even think I have enough. Like, I don't even know if I have faith in the UFC card. Like, I don't even have the motivation to watch it. And he was like, "Damn, bro, come on." I was like, "Nah, seriously. Like, this is like, I'm fighting this like an illness right now. Like Bellator dragged my spirit down so bad and I wanted to watch fights. I almost didn't even watch UFC Phoenix. And I didn't watch it. I started watching the first fight that I caught up in. I didn't watch it from the beginning like I normally would because I usually watch like at the start of the prelims is when I'll start watching fights. I didn't do that. I started watching it right before the start of the main card. It was I walked into a place and they had we asked them to put it on the TV, and they were in the Aljo and Jimmy Rivera fight. That was the time when I got tuned in to the UFC Phoenix was there in the Aljo and Rivera fight. Which actually, that was a good fight, I think, to start and get my spirits back up because I was so disappointed with Bellator. You know, I was like in a depression because Bellator was so terrible the night before. But then jumping into UFC, you said watching Aldo and Rivera brought me back, man. That was a really good fight.
Yeah, Aljo, me and your boy, he fought a real technical, smart fight. He kept Jimmy Rivera at distance. So Jimmy really couldn't do anything. He really couldn't close the distance. So Aljamain, you know, he used his jab, you know, he used his kicks. I think his only loss has been to Marlon Moraes. So, and you know, I think Moraes knocked the bottom like 26 seconds or something like that, something crazy. So I really don't know what they're going to do with him next, whether or not, you know, what his next fight going to be. But I really like the way he fought on Saturday. And I'm with you, man. I'm glad the UFC actually had an event Sunday because if that was the only MMA I had all weekend, I probably would have been pissed too. But you know, man. You know, now that, you know, the UFC Phoenix there happened, it was something that happened on that card that I have to bring up to you. And you actually said this on our last show, and I kind of disagreed with you. But now you know, after sitting back and looking at the big picture of mixed martial arts in the UFC, I have to give it to you. You were right. After saying the Ganu fight, Cain Velasquez, and Stipe not fighting at all, but, you know, sitting back complaining, I'm kind of with you, man. I think Stipe needs to get another fight, man. I think he needs to fight either Blaze or fight somebody else, you know, whereas, like, Nagano, you know, he had that lackluster performance against Derrick Lewis. And I really think his UFC career was on the line because the UFC was really pissed about him and Derrick Lewis' performance. And since then, you know, he done cleaned out I want to say he beat Blaze, and then he just knocked out Cain Velasquez. As much as I love Stipe, and he was a dominant heavyweight champion, I feel like Nagano has definitely earned a title shot right now. Even though he lost to Stipe when he was champ, I think if DC was to come back, I wouldn't be mad if they gave it to Nagano, man. And you said that on the last show, you said that Stipe is your boy, but he needs to get back in the octagon. And I'm with you now, because the last time we seen Stipe, he was getting knocked out. The last time we seen Nagano, he was knocking out a former heavyweight champion of the world. And, you know, so how do you feel about that, bro? I mean, I know you've been preaching to the choir, and I was the choir. So are you still on that same page that Stipe needs to get in there and fight? Or does he need to sit back and wait until DC decides to fight?
Well, this is that, you know, the problem is, I think, you know, one way to look at it is like, okay, so someone said to me the other day, they were like, you know, Stipe, you've got to think, he probably doesn't want to go back to fighting for regular fighter money. You know, he was used to making that championship money, you know, probably making like, you know, 200K a fight or something like that. And then now, you know, you want him to go back and, you know, fight for your fifth. I don't know what is realistic for Stipe, you know, in a non-title fight at this point. But, you know, you want him to go back and fight for less money. But the problem is that when you get knocked down from greatness, you kind of got to build, you got to give people a reason to want to get behind you again. I mean, sitting there complaining isn't really building your case. And, and Stipe, he's got to fight. That's the thing. He's not going to build a case with anybody. And it ain't even just about the fans, really, building the case with the UFC. I mean, you have to, like, he has a, you know, he has a good-sized fan base. You know what I mean? He has a good-sized fan base to support him and say he deserves a rematch. But to be honest with you, what a lot of us need to realize is that we are not the target fan base, so they really don't care. The UFC is not listening to us fans, you know, who are avid fans, which is, you know, it's kind of sad, but, like, you know, of course they're going to be looking at the Brock Lesnar fight right now. That's what they want to look at right now. But then at the same time, you know, that attention kind of gets shifted because then now you have Brock Lesnar just, like, you know, picked up the belt again in WWE, so he just had a fight and retained his belt. That I heard about that. So I don't think he's coming anytime soon, you know, and then, you know, in Ganu, they have a guy like this who, you know, kind of also fell from greatness. You know, he was never a champion, but, you know, he lost to Stipe, but look at what he's done since then. And look at what Stipe has done since then. I mean, after Stipe beat Ngannou, he got knocked out in his next fight. And then after Ngannou lost to Stipe, you know, he had a really, you know, a lackluster, very hesitant, you know, unusual fight with Derrick Lewis, you know, that just didn't look like either one of them and definitely not the fight we expected. And I think the UFC was kind of, you know, done with him at that point. Then they gave him a bounce back and he ends up knocking out, you know, two high-level wrestlers and, you know, and a former champion in Cain Velasquez, who a lot of people say is the GOAT of the heavyweight division. So, and Curtis Blaydes, you know, a guy who, especially after losing to Stipe because of not having the wrestling ability, you know, a lot of people counted him out versus Curtis Blaydes too because Ngannou didn't have the wrestling ability. They would think, okay, you know, Curtis Blaydes is going to go in there, expose him, you know, pretty much go with the same route that Stipe did, and it's, you know, he's going to hold him down and put the pressure on him. Ngannou's going to get exhausted, and he's not going to be able to make it. You know, by the second round, he's going to be gassed. He's not going to be able to stand up. So, but then he ends up knocking out, you know, both guys. And now, you know, when you do that, you kind of force the UFC's hand. It doesn't matter what, you know, the casual fans or the hardcore fans want. It comes down to look at the work that he's putting in, because he's attracting both sides at this point. Casual fans see a guy knocking a guy out in, you know, less than a minute in the main event. That's, you know, that's attracting everybody. You know, it don't even matter. You know, everybody's picking up on that, and I'm sure the owners, you know, the WME is picking up on that too. Like, wow, look at this guy. You know, he's finishing guys. You know, getting guys out of there early, and that's what a lot of people want to see. They want to see finishes, and he's delivering that. So we can't really deny him, you know, a title fight. That's an exciting opportunity for us, you know, to draw in a lot of pay-per-views and things like that. So when you look at the business side of it, you know, of course Dana White's going to be considering Ngannou for the next title shot. Why would he consider Stipe the next title shot? First of all, I don't even think he wants Stipe as the champion at this point. And second off, is that Stipe, what really has Stipe done? I mean, he's one of my favorite guys to watch, but really, like, what has Stipe done? How can you just continue to, you know, claim all these things that a guy deserves when he's not putting in the work? I mean, you can't make the team without going to tryouts. You know, you got to go to tryouts, and you got to show them why you're going to be making the all-star team. You can't just sit back and be like, oh, like I was, you know, all pro in the Little League. Or, you know what I mean? Or all these – just that was probably not a great example. But, I was in the championship my last six seasons, but the all-star team don't care about why you were champion in the last six seasons. You got to – show them that you could still be a champion now. So you got to go out there and try out and then make it back on the, you know, make it back on the roster, stop beating guys on the roster who are above you, and then get back to that title fight. You got to work your way there. You know, and a guy like him, I'm surprised that he doesn't think that way. I'm surprised at how entitled that he's looking really entitled right now. I mean, I know there's a lot of cases you could say where people got, you know, their shots right back. You know, Cody Garbrandt got a shot right back after getting knocked out, and Joanna got a shot right back after getting knocked out. But, and, you know, I could easily say, well, how come they got a shot right back and Stipe didn't get a shot right back? But honestly, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I think that it's that comparison is valid to be made. You know, it's a valid argument when you put that out there. I've even put that out there, you know, in my argument. That's why I bring those up. But at the same time, it's like, it's just the way the business is moving right now. I really don't see the cards on the table for Stipe unless he goes out there and beats a Curtis Blaydes or an Ngannou or a Derek Lewis. I really don't see him getting another title shot. He has to entice Dana White to put him in the title picture, entice DC to want to fight him, or whoever it's going to be to want to fight him again. That's how I feel about that. He's looking entitled.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the heavyweight rankings, and, you know, Stipe Ford, I think he already fought Derek Lewis. I think he fought Ngannou. So Curtis Blaydes is number five. So basically his next fight should be against Curtis Blaydes or Alexander Volkov. So, and I'm counting with you on this. I just think that's fighting down for him, because he's a second ranked guy fighting number five guy. So does that really help him? But at the same time, he got to get back in the ring, man. He got to get back in the octagon, because what he's doing isn't working, and it isn't flying with the UFC. They could really give. They don't really care about him whining about a rematch. They want him to get back in there and reestablish himself. And I think he needs to get in there and reestablish himself, have a dominating performance against whoever they put him in there with, and then just press forward. And then maybe he gets the winner of the Ngannou-DC fight. But DC said that he don't want to fight on Ngannou. So, I think, once again, DC will have another decision trapped until he either drops the belt or until he fights Brock Lesnar. And then I think after he fights Brock Lesnar, he's going to retire. So my thing is he's holding up the heavyweight division like he held up the light heavyweight division. But we're not going to get into that. I think me and you as fans, you know, we want to see Stipe back in the octagon. We want him to reestablish himself as the greatest heavyweight champion in the world right now. And until he does that, you know, I think people are going to start thinking of him as an afterthought. So, Stipe, man, if you're listening to the show, man, go ahead and get a fight in, bro. Let the world know that you're still out there, that you're still one of the pound-for-pound great fighters in the game, and reestablish yourself, bro. Just holding out and trying to bide your time for a rematch isn't working. And like Key said, it's making you look at title. And DC actually said Stipe feels entitled. I want to say a couple weeks back on Twitter, he said Stipe feels entitled or whatever, whatever. And I actually defended Stipe on that, saying that, you know, he was the most dominant heavyweight champion, you know, had the most title defense, a lot of he basically beat everybody in the top 10. And now I got to walk back on that because I think he does need to get in and fight somebody.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I wanted to say, too, was, you know, a lot of people on – actually, not even a lot of people's comment, understatement. A ton of people on Twitter, I think, still to this day, since Sunday night, have been debating about the finish. You know, Ngannou's finish of Cain Velasquez, a lot of people are saying, you know, when it first happened, a lot of people in the bar I was at was saying his knee gave out and that he, like – I heard people saying he tore his ACL – and he just, like, fell over, and he didn't get hit. And I thought it looked like he didn't get hit, but I just didn't see it because it was so fast that you just couldn't see it, especially from the angle that they had it, the angle they had it in, like, in the live broadcast. You just really couldn't see the shot that landed. But actually what happened
–
yeah, he did, because when one of my followers, I was talking to him, and he actually found some perfect footage of it. And when he played it back, you could see that Cain Velasquez was shooting low. It was like he was starting to shoot low, you know, towards the midsection for what would have been a takedown, or maybe he was going to try and press Ngannou against the cage. It looked like he was going for one of those positions. And as he was on the way down, you could see Ngannou's right hand. You know, Ngannou, because at first he might have missed a couple of shots, but then Ngannou landed when Cain's head was at about going towards the midsection. You see Ngannou's right hand come from the side and rock the side of Cain's head, you know, pretty much the right side, you know, rock on Cain's right side. You could see him get hit by Ngannou's right hand. And that's when, from that point, you see his body start to fall backwards. And he hit the canvas. That was when it looked like you seen his legs fall out from under him. I don't think his legs gave out. I think hit with a shot, and it made his knees buckle because Ngannou's got serious power. And I think that's what he might have underestimated a little bit when he went with that game plan, was he just didn't think that Ngannou's hands were going to be flying. I don't know why he would – I can't even make sense of it, so I'm not going to try to. But anyways, he got dropped from Ghana's right hand, and his knees buckled. He fell down and got pounded out. So that's what I saw when I played the footage back. I don't know why there's so much debate over it still. That's what happened.
I know why. Because the day before, they showed him having a workout for the public, and in the video, it actually shows him, like, doing, you know, he was hopping around, you know, doing what boxers and stuff do. You know, they're bouncing around on their toes and stuff. And it looked like his knee kind of, like, gave out a little bit and that little workout. And then he actually stopped the workout after that. But I think Dominique Cruz played a big role in this thing, too, because when they did the slow-mo replay on the knockout, He was like, oh, man, his knee gave out, la, 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 la. But Dominique really didn't say nothing about the uppercut that he got hit with before his knee gave out. So I think a lot of people missed that uppercut because it was so quick and so powerful that, you know, people may have missed it unless you saw the slow-mo. But the thing is with Cain Velasquez, just like Dominique Cruz, those guys are injury prone. And at this point in time, it's like they need to do what's right for themselves and their body. And I think it's time. I think Dominique Cruz has definitely a career at color commentating. And I think Kane, he might just be a guy that can be a good wrestling coach, maybe be a good corner man, because his body is just failing him, bro. It's just like it's one injury after another. And it seems like he can't survive a fight without having an injury after every fight.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's a good comparison, you know, him and Dominic Cruz kind of in the same boat at this point. Their bodies just can't seem to hold up, and you know, either they make it to a fight and have a bad performance, or they can't make it to a fight because they get re-injured in training camp or something like that. And one more thing that I wanted to bring up to you too that's definitely on my radar is this is a guy that I've been talking about a good amount lately, and I'm not sure. I don't think you're sold on this guy yet, which is okay. You don't have to be sold on him, but I just want to bring out this fact. Because I knew it was gonna happen when I first saw the you know, there was different moving parts that were coming together. I could see it, you know, right at the start. Johnny Walker, you know, when he fought Justin Laidet, I don't know if we've been on since that fight happened. I think we I'm not really actually sure, but you know, Johnny Walker gets the first round stoppage of Justin Laidet at. That wasn't this weekend. I think it was last weekend's fight night. And so he said after the Octagon, you know, post-fight Octagon interview, he said that he wanted to get back in there right away. And, you know, when he said that, I'm like, okay, like, you know, this guy's going to be back within, like, 2 months fighting again. Because, you know, when you get a first-round stoppage, he didn't even – I mean, he went through the training camp and he probably had to cut weight. So, you know, it's, you know, it does damage to his body. There's those factors. But, I mean, besides that, he took zero damage in the fight. The guy didn't land a strike before, you know, Johnny Walker stopped him. So, you know, he's jumping right back in there because now, you know, they fell out. They were supposed to have Alvin St. Preux versus Misha Cirkunov on the John Jones undercard. And then Alvin St. Preux fell out of the fight, so they were looking for somebody to fight Misha Cirkunov, and guess who, you know, took no damage in his last fight and was right there to swoop in like an eagle? Johnny Walker. So now you have Johnny Walker, you know, because he just tweeted it that right when the day that they had Alvin St. Preux, they announced Alvin St. Preux, you know, fell out with an injury. Johnny Walker tweeted it that his team was working on a fight, or that they were looking for a fight or something. And then the next day, you've seen that Johnny Walker was added to, you know, fight Misha Cirkunov on the John Jones undercard. So the point of what I'm trying to say is I've been talking about this guy, and I know it's not very realistic at this point, but I've been just saying, no, imagine like a Johnny Walker and John Jones fight in the future. And now it's just interesting because you have the John Jones headliner, and then you have Johnny Walker on his undercard now. Just a really interesting way that everything just happened to play out. How you feel about that?
Well, you know, we did talk about this the last show, and actually I was kind of happy that the UFC made the fight because, you know, he didn't take any punishment. You know, it was a quick knockout, and basically, you want another name to fight the guy, Cirkunov, I think that's his name. And, you know, Johnny Walker being a guy that's up and coming, you know, it's a good matchup. So you know, he's definitely getting his name out there, especially by staying busy and taking a fight on short notice. So, you know, you got to get him, you got to applaud him for that. And hopefully he'll have another good showing. The light heavyweight division is kind of open right now. I think if you had to stack them, you'll probably say you got Blachowicz versus Santos coming up. You got Uzdemir versus Reyes coming up. You got Johnny Walker versus Serkinov coming up. And I think that's going to be your cream of the crop, light heavyweight fighters. So basically, I think if Santos wins, he'll get the next shot. I think you might have Reyes versus Johnny Walker probably on the same card or maybe a card after that with the winner probably being a title eliminator. So you never know, man. But it was cool to see somebody not back down from a challenge to actually step up to a challenge. So, you know, I like it.
Yeah, you know, get to see it. It's cool because you get to see a lot of new blood coming through because you don't have to say, oh, who's, you know, light heavyweight anymore. You don't have to just say, like, oh, like, you know, who's DC going to fight? Who's Gustafson going to fight? Like, you don't really need to have these same, you know, few guys fighting all these other guys. You know, you have pretty much a good – there's not a ton of them, but you do have, a little good little handful of, fresh new names. Like a Dominic Reyes and like a Johnny Walker, and Misha Serkinov still fairly new. You know, so we'll see what these guys are doing. And Thiago Santos as well, and you have Blachowicz in the ranks as well. So you got a little mix going on there. You know, five or six guys, maybe seven guys. I might be missing somebody, but we'll see what happens with the Jones and Anthony Smith. One thing too that I wanted to bring up to you. Oh man, I just lost my train of thought right there. It'll come back to me.
Can I talk about?
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to talk about some fake news that came out over the weekend that had everybody in an uproar on Twitter and everything about UFC 236. It was somewhere out there that said Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson for the interim, what's that, lightweight belt? Or
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody was up in the wall over that, and I called fake news from the time I saw it because I just think something like that, you would see, like, Dana White probably doing a press conference or interview announcing that fight. It wouldn't have been put out the way it was. Some people were saying it was a leak. And my only two cents for that was, I know you tweeted at me about that. And my only two cents was, I just don't see how Dana White will put Holloway versus Ferguson for the interim belt when everybody knows that it should be Ferguson versus Poirier for the lightweight belt. Because to me, it kind of defeats the purpose of the rankings. Why would you have people rank when basically you're telling us the rankings don't matter? I would say, and me as a fan, I would rather see Holloway fight Frankie and then come up to, you know, lightweight and let's see what he can do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, a lot of people was up in the roar about that. And I think you was one of them. But I'm going to let you respond to that. I know you was excited when you read it. But do you really think this is going to be the fight at 236, the main event for Holloway versus Ferguson for the interim belt?
Well, no, I don't. You know, I don't. I mean, I was excited when I saw it. I wasn't trying to say. Excuse me. I wasn't trying to say that it was official news. I was just excited about the idea of it because that was one of my fights if you remember, that I had on my dream card.
Yep, that was one of your fights.
Yeah, that was one of my fights on my dream card we did a little while back. So I was just excited for the idea of the fight. But, I mean, first of all, I knew, like, it wasn't an official source. You know, if I needed to see, like, an announcement from the UFC to, you know, 100% believe that fight was really going down. And secondly is that, you know, it would have been tweeted out by a lot more sources, you know, even before the UFC tweeted it, and I would have known about it. But, you know, that didn't happen. And secondly is that, like you said, it just doesn't really make sense for the divisions to do that right now, you know, especially to make an interim bout and then put a guy from another division into the interim pitcher when you already have, you know, a handful of guys like Ferguson, you know, Poirier. You got, you know, a couple other guys over there, and that would be in front. You know, be the front runners for an interim belt. You know, instead you have Holloway jumping out of nowhere, just coming in, you know, for the interim belt. I mean, I like the fight itself, but, you know, one thing you said that I would like is just for it to just be no belt. You know, I'd rather, if they want to do Ferguson and Holloway, I'd rather just be no belt on the line and just have, you know, Tony Ferguson versus Max Holloway just do a catch weight, you know, at 150 or something like that. Or you know, one guy, he's just, yeah, something like that, because you know how these fights do when you guys move up and move down. It's always, you know, the smaller guy always knocks out the big. It's some kind of weird phenomenon with that, but especially Max Holloway, personally, I'd rather see him just stay at featherweight and just keep fighting contenders. You know, I still want to see the Max and Frankie Edgar fight, and I still want to, at this point, I don't even know if I want to see the Moicano fight, to be honest. I wanted to see Holloway fight Moicano before, but now seeing the way Aldo just destroyed Moicano, I don't really know if Moicano is. I feel like if Aldo can destroy him, I don't know if Holloway's going to destroy him. Like, I know MMA math doesn't always work, but, I mean, if Aldo does that to him, I see he has no chance against Holloway, so there's just really no point. But, and I'd still rather see Max fight Frankie Edgar, and I feel like there's a few other guys over there that I'm not thinking of. Maybe Ricardo Lamas. Ricardo Lamas has looked pretty good lately. Maybe he comes back up. Have Holloway fight Ricardo Lamas or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. That one's probably not going to happen because now you actually have a different interim title fight that popped up for UFC 236, which is actually at middleweight. And you have and that one's actually official. I mean, the UFC hasn't announced it. It's not UFC announcement official yet, but I mean, all the other sources that I follow have tweeted it out, and Brett Okamoto from ESPN has also announced it, and if ESPN announces it, that's pretty much on the same level as the UFC announcing it. But so, yeah, you have, you know, Israel Adesanya fighting Kelvin Gastelum for the interim middleweight title, you know, in the wake of Robert Whittaker having to have, you know, having a big surgery. You know, they just want to keep the middleweight division rolling. And, you know, Kelvin Gastelum was, like, hours away from his title shot, and it just kind of slipped away from him last minute. So, you know, I see why they're doing it, but at the same time, like, if you know, one thing I just want to point out about it is that I get, like, I agree that, like, giving Kelvin Gastelum the interim title fight, it's paying the due respects to Gastelum, because he was hours away from a title shot, and he did show up. He, you know, he made the weight. He was ready, you know, to go, thinking he was going to be fighting, and you know, the fight fell through a couple hours before. I mean, he was right there, so you can't make another fight without him in it, and just letting him get an interim fight makes sense. But I just don't know if I agree with it being against Adesanya, though. I mean, Adesanya, I mean, yeah, they both, you know, we're at the event that night, but Adesanya just beat Anderson Silva. I mean, Anderson Silva's been, like, that's not, Silva's, like, ranked 15 or something. Like, how does that get you, you know, Adesanya's had one of the easiest roads to the title, if you really think about it. Like, you know, I'm just trying to be more objective lately. That's the reason why, you know, I don't know if Lee quite understands my perspectives lately. It's not really, it's not my one opinion. It's just me trying to look at things from, you know, both sides of the coin and not just saying one. Because on one side of the coin, I'm a big fan of Israel Adesanya. So, of course, I'm going to be happy for him that he's getting an interim title fight. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, if you look at the at the rankings. I just don't think it makes sense. You know, how does a guy beat the number 15 and then fall into an interim title fight with Gastelum, a guy who actually has fought Jacare Souza and beat Jacare Souza? You know, if you think about it, Israel Adesanya's had one of the easiest paths to a title shot in recent memory. I mean, this guy's beaten a whole bunch of, like, really low-level, you know, pretty low-level guys. I mean, he beat, what's the dude from Hawaii that he fought? I can't remember his even name because he's not a fighter that's on my radar. I mean, he's fought a couple guys, like, three guys that aren't on my radar at all. I didn't even know who some of them were. And then you had him fighting, he fought Derek Brunson, who's, like, number 8 or something like that. And he beat Derek Brunson, but, like, you still don't – that don't get you up there to me. And then – but it's like, how do you get to interim title fight without fighting the division's best guys? Like, he really hasn't fought any of the division's best guys. He hasn't fought – who in the top five has Israel Adesanya fought? I mean, he hasn't – how do you justify a guy getting basically a title shot without having fought Jacare Souza, without having fought a Yoel Romero? How do you justify that? Like, I have no idea. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? When you posed that question earlier on Twitter, I had to go back, and actually, I have a retort for you. John Jones actually had the same ladder when he became the light heavyweight champion the first time. His three fights before he got a title shot were, I'm going to say, it was Brandon Vera, who he beat in round one via TKO, Vladimir Tyshenko, who he beat in round one by KO, and then he fought Ryan Bader, and he beat him by submission in round two. But if you look at everybody he fought before then, he had a DQ loss to Matt Hamill. He beat some guy named Jacob Bryan. He beat Stefan Bonner, who was probably washed at the time. And I don't even know these other guys that he fought. Some guy named Andre Guzman when he came in the UFC. So basically, you could compare Israel's plight to the championship the same way you can do John. Basically, at the right time, at the right place, at the right time. But if you look at who John fought after he became the champ, you say he beat Shogun Hood, Rampage Jackson, Lyoto Machida, Rashad Evans, Vito Belfort, Chael Sonnen, Gustafson, Teixeira, Cormier, Gustafson again, and then he had a fighter there where he beat Oliveira and St. Cruz. So once he became the champ, he fought everybody that was a who's who at the time. So I'm thinking the UFC, they probably want to use the same roadmap for Israel. But I'm with you. I would have rather seen him fight Jacare first, Gastelum fight Robert Whittaker, and then maybe put Israel and Jacare on the same card or the card after that with the winner getting the next title shot. But I can see the UFC he's a hot commodity right now. So basically, they're pushing him to the top. They're giving him a nudge. And with the Whittaker injury, they actually just pushed him, gave him a two-hand push into the title shot. So, you know, people will probably be mad about it, that, you know, he ain't beat nobody in the top five. But we'll see when he fights Gastelum, and then when he fights Robert Whittaker. And I think you will see the dominoes start to fall like that if he does win the belt. He'll either be a great champion or he'll get exposed against good competition. So, you know, the UFC, they have a plan. Because you already know that he'll probably, if he beats Gastelum, he'll fight Whittaker to unify the belt. And then you'll probably say Jacare or Yoel Romero will be next. Unless Whittaker wins. If Whittaker wins, maybe he'll fight Jacare again. but I don't see him fighting Yoel Romero for a third time. So, you know, and it will kind of happen that the UFC ain't leaving a division in flux. You know, they're kind of moving forward. But at the same time, I guess Gastelum, the only person he has to beat is, what, Yoel Romero? I think he beat Jacare. I think he knocked Jacare out. And I think I think he hasn't fought Yoel Romero. But Yoel Romero, I guess they're still trying to make that Paulo Costa fight with him. So that's probably why they won't want Adesanya. So, you know, he is in the top 10. So, man, you always say you can't win an interim belt or win a belt if you're not fighting somebody in the top 10. So, at least they got two top 10 guys going at it.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, I had what I had to say, but then listening to that, I mean, that really – that opened up a new perspective for me. I mean, I think basically what you were just trying to say, what it was that it's kind of a right, just being in the right place at the right time kind of thing, you know, similar to the Jon Jones rise to the title. And then, you know, but then you just had to see who he, this level of competition he fought afterwards, which I think if, which is a big if Adesanya were to become the middleweight champion, he still has two, like, difficult fights ahead of him before he could really do that. But if he were to become the champion, he would have, I would imagine he would have to defend against, you know, the Jacarés and the Yoel Romeros and Paulo Costas, you know what I mean? So he would definitely have to face the heat of being, you know, an active middleweight champion, because one thing Robert Whittaker really hasn't done, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him, is just that with the amount of, like, with his injury-prone, you know, career, he really has... I mean, I know he fought Yoel Romero twice, but, like, really, though, like, since he's been the champion, like, he fought Yoel Romero for an interim belt the first time. So I don't know if that's really a title defense. He fought an interim fight.
Nope. It's not a title defense.
How many title defenses? Zero.
Because he fought Yoel Romero for the interim belt. And then they ran it back, and Yoel Romero didn't make weight. So that really was a concern of a title defense. Fighting Gastelum would have been his first title defense. So basically, the middleweight championship has basically been an interim belt since Georges St. Pierre won it, because Whittaker won the interim belt, never defended it. And whoever wins between Gastelum and Adesanya will be winning an interim belt. So it's kind of weird how that's working out.
Yeah, I just think that Adesanya is someone who, I mean, we've seen him fight. I mean, I saw a statistic earlier, and I'm pretty sure it said that Adesanya will have fought